at 3:37. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of May 30th. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, we're here to discuss the 2018 audits and possible, request for proposal on a couple of them if we can come to an agreement. I guess why don't we start with the sheriff's department since the undersheriff is here with us, and I know Hector had some questions to.
Mr. Sheriff, if I may,
please.
Part of it, and I shared it with the sheriff, and I think with the committee on the email, is my, there's a lot going on. I sent it off today. I suddenly remember it's like, oh, we have an audit committee meeting today. I never sent off the damn freaking question, so it's my own fault. But part of that is also, though, in relation to an audit that's already been done. So there were sort of like follow-up questions to that particular audit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, as a group, that you all actually got the chance to see those questions slash be able to kind of really, think about them. So I don't mind if at the end of the day we hold off on anything on that particular front, although if we are prepared to discuss some of those questions, like, for example, some of those things that popped up as a result, remember, of the controller's initial audit, and unfortunately there's no designee from the controller's office here to go and
my recommendation would be for the next meeting that we invite whoever authored that audit to come here if you have questions on the audit itself.
Yeah, they're supposed to send somebody, by the way, that's why I'm...
Okay.
Well, they're non-voting members or designees, so... but yeah, they're not here, so... It wouldn't have helped anyway.
I was going to say, if I can just follow up on that, many of the questions that you sent seem like they're more questions for the comptroller than they are for the sheriff's department.
Some of it, though, actually leads back to just from an internal perspective of, both the internal controls, but also, which I know the sheriff did discuss a little bit
yeah.
at our last meeting, but not a lot. And then some of it, I think, also comes back to just, what we use some of those dollars for became sort of part of that question. And while, so that is a bit more of a policy perspective in terms of, what do other sheriff's departments do? Is there something that we should be looking at in that direction? So I just say that. And actually, can you please give this back to the chair?
Sure, sir.
Thank you. Mayor?
Yep.
Anybody else have comments on that or any further questions? Tracy?
Not exactly on that. So I looked at, and I know Amber looked at the Shimon report from CGR.
Yep.
I don't know if anyone else did, and one thing I'd like to do is circulate it to everybody. I don't know if you downloaded it, but yeah, so we have, it's 150 pages or something, and then there's a...
Is there a Cliff Notes version?
There's a follow-up to it, so they have a later report follow-up, just
right.
to have everybody even have a sense. I put together a list of questions, which I brought today. I realized the same on Hector's point is late, but these questions related to the Shimon report
right.
have to do with really trying to get a handle on jail population. It was questions that I had anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll circulate them in a second. I didn't want to, after getting Hector's email, I didn't want to then shoot off another email with 100
hey, here's my questions too, yeah.
Or and 25 questions at the last minute because I know everyone would be like, what the heck?
Well, so our population shot up to 310. We have 130 some boarded from Dutchess County. We're probably going to
oh,
get
wow.
The state dropped the hammer on their dorms.
They're having an issue. I don't know what it is.
Maybe the stuff that I've been throwing in the ductwork's been working.
Yeah, and it's funny because even saying that I don't know. Oh, I have how many beds are boarded. Okay, let me just circulate it anyway, since I.
It's
an informal
like,
list of questions. It's not.
I think we should send USERT over there to,
so security. I'm clearly not expecting even one answer right now in any of these.
But it's all this week is supply. All data
that exists, right.
Just
a matter
of asking
for it.
Yeah, and trying to make sense of it.
Do you have any answers right now that you can give us?
No.
But so I think if everybody looks at the, Amber and I spoke about it both talking about it, but then also via email a little bit about some concerns about the how the Shimon study may or may not be relevant because it was commissioned because of a problem they were having with overpopulation. But I still think it could be informative and it's worth having a discussion about it, about how we take that and how a study like that might inform policy and be beneficial to the county and to the sheriff's department and, mm-hmm. and et cetera. Even as we look to alternatives, or we're able to, because some of the issues that come up, and Ken, you're the one who so rightly brought it up, have to do with things that are outside of all of our control in this room right now, things that have to do with sentencing, which is in the realm of yep. the judges. But when you have information, I mean, the value, I think, of a report like that is that you can go back to the judges and say, as a result of some of your policies, this is what's happening. This costs
right.
resources, both financial and otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not what we'll find out, but maybe it is. We don't know. We
yeah.
have, to my knowledge, we haven't done, as the undersheriff points out, this information's there. We just haven't done an analysis of it, and I haven't seen an analysis of it thus far. So something that I'm interested in, I do not expect us to come to any consensus right now. And I will,
yep.
it's only because I didn't want to send a 167-page report one hour before a meeting. I would have done it, but I just like, it's way too much. So I will circulate that.
Mine was one page, baby.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, and by the way, thank you for letting us know about Dutchess. It's one of those things that's, we've all known, it's given us...
It just happens.
No, what I'm saying, it's like one of these things where, you know, the board-in situation has given us all agita for a while now. But Mr. Chair, one thing, and this may or may not be the purview for it, but just sometimes this comes up as you're thinking of it. I mean, one of those things to also be thinking about is that, you know, we've had for the past year, less board-ins. You know, and so that's just been one of those challenges that's happened for the Sheriff's Department. I mean, one of those things that we may want to consider is, you know, what happens if and when Dutchess gets itself its act together and actually gets approved by DOCS, and then, you know, what are we going to do with basically all those empty portions of the jail? You know,
well,
that may be a thing to go and discuss with the sheriff and with other folks. I mean, that may be another thing to be looking at, is sort of like a, you know, what happens afterwards? You know, do we basically see board-ins being a viable, you know, component economically for us as a county, and therefore should we be doing something different with the space allocation we have?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this, that, the undersheriff talking about new board-ins from Dutchess, we haven't had a great deal of board-ins from Dutchess since they put up the dorms.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Some, but not...
Yeah. Averaging five or six.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was it. I mean, and it showed in the stats.
Yeah.
You know, it showed what we were getting every month, and that's
yeah.
why, except Ajita. But that may be another thing to kind of just to throw into the mix there, is that basically we should be looking at, you know, what have other counties done in terms of, you know, what they've done with jails or portions of jails to reallocate that space.
Thank you, Sean.
You're not going to be able to reallocate that space because it's jail cells. You might need it at any given time.
Well,
you can't like rent it out.
I think he's suggesting closing down a pod. I think that's.
Well, we reopened the pod because we had to.
But yeah, no, I understand. But this is a situational thing where, you know, I'm saying if we're playing the game of, so to speak, of where do we sort of see in the long run, you know, where our board is going to be at, right, generally speaking.
We've been working hard with the feds trying to get, we've been in contact with ICE and the U.S. Marshals Service trying to get them to bring federal inmates here.
I could use some ICE, but not that kind of ICE right now.
So... No, ICE might want to make a deal for 25 cells, but that still works.
Ken, how's other counties, what are they doing regarding the space they have in their jails right now?
I think they're struggling. I think they're struggling. I think that counties in upstate New York have been forced to do massive builds, and I think everyone's struggling.
Rensselaer County just built a huge facility, so they're getting a lot of boarders. County is going to have to build a new jail. They're like going to get condemned any day now.
Well, is Sullivan going to have with their new jail?
Yeah. And Sullivan's in the process of building a new jail because I think they got condemned.
And what do we
have
right now with boarders from Sullivan?
No. They go to Orange County.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a lot closer from
there. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's obviously been just down
some. Yeah, some of it becomes transportation.
Yeah.
But the market for Borden's has gone up substantially.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, I remember early on with Dutchess, we were in that bidding war with Rensselaer, because they were bidding real low, and they'll come get them.
But what I'm saying, that's the marketplace for better lack of a term that we face, is that, you know, it's, there's a lot of room out there.
I mean, I can tell you this, that the jail population report that Tracy's talking about is something that I'm starting to lean towards thinking might be a good idea, just for our own, just as a benchmark for our own information right now. Mm-hmm. You know, how many are, you know, awaiting sentencing, how many are in on misdemeanors. One of the things I think would be interesting to see is going through the numbers, how much higher does the number go up during the winter when it's cold for people in on, you know, on petty crimes.
All that information is readily available. It's just
about putting it all in one spot, and then, you know,
you gotta get somebody to compile it.
Yeah, exactly.
The power of that information is substantial, not just in compelling judges. I mean, it has to do with where we might invest funds for diversion programs, for et cetera. I mean,
yeah.
I just think there's a tremendous amount to be learned. Or a bail fund, which is something I'm very interested in.
When we start looking at that in terms of, remember, you know,
that's the sheriff's credit card.
But at a certain point, you know, look, I mean, if the person is not in a, you know, clearly if they're not a violent, you know, they would be, but, you know, if they're not somebody who we are really concerned about in a major way, then, you know, that's going to be something that would suddenly dramatically drop down our pulse, right?
So, Tracy, you know, what you're saying is very good, very useful, many different ways, but how are we going to implement this in Clearwater? Okay.
Well, that's why you should look at the Chemung that CGR did. I don't know if it's a study. I don't know if it's exactly an audit, but it's a study, and it's 167 pages. They did Chemung County. I think they also did Steuben County, but I looked at the...
I know the intent we're trying to do sounds pretty good. I mean, we're an audit committee here. We have the authority to say, hey, you know, let's not audit the jail, or let's audit, or let's do a study. And do we have that authority to go back to the legislative body and say, hey, you know, we would like to do this as part of an audit committee recommendation? I mean, let's see how we can fit that in so that we're not doing all this work, and then all of a sudden, hey, that wasn't your purview of
I think it is. I think part of this money was for things like this, not just for financial audits, but for, you know, a report such
just
as this.
Before we start, you know, this is what we're doing, how we're doing it, you know.
Thank you. So, Mr. Jarantine, you know, one thing I would go and say is that, you know, if we're looking at it as a program on it, though, in which we are also analyzing both what we're doing, what other counties are doing, that can then basically kind of lead into the next steps of, in a way, programmatic audits can become almost like one thing, one part, analyzing what you're actually doing, analyzing what other counties are doing, and then sort of that next step becomes almost like one part study, right? In terms of basically sort of laying out, these are the kind of things that you can, and it may then warrant further study, and I hate throwing more money at studies, trust me.
Yeah.
But that said, it may be if we actually see value, meaning if the program audit yields value and says, hey, look, there's real money that you guys can be saving here if you do X, Y, and Z, because we're seeing it work in a place like Chemung, or we're seeing it work in a place like wherever, you know, now all of a sudden you now have an analysis to work off of. So
all I'm saying is that we're gonna do all this work. It's gonna be, you know, a little bit of work, a lot of work. That, you know, we're not going to come back to the legislative body and they're going to tell us, oh, you know, you have that authority to go into a report versus,
I think.
Let everybody be well aware of what we're doing, why we're doing it. They might be jumping on board, but I mean, there again, just let them be known before.
Well, I can tell you, Richard, unless this goes over $50,000, which I doubt that it will, we don't need legislative approval to put out the RFP.
In that respect, but the thing is, you know, if you want to be open and transparent, I mean, yeah, there again, I would like everybody to be on board, the majority of people to be on board. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. You know,
Tracy.
I was gonna say I agree in terms of the transparency. we wouldn't have to go back, but I think it would behoove us as a committee anyway, as we're drilling down on what we're doing, let the legislature as a whole, they're our colleagues, why wouldn't we say, this is what we're doing, this is our mindset, this is where we're going, and we're out to RFP. I don't
disagree with you there,
yeah.
but I'm saying not to go with a resolution.
Oh,
and,
no,
yeah. and that,
no, I'm just
I think, I mean,
yeah.
we should
yeah,
tell the rest of the
legislature.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's, to be very blunt, though, let's just be frank, you know, people, we created this flood, and very much the people in this room, okay, are the ones who, myself and Tracy, the ones who brought it forward. You were chair of Ways and Means, you're the chair of the legislature. We all sort of, you know, pushed for this to actually happen. At the end of the day, it's, I'm not trying to go and say it is whatever we want it to be, but I'm saying at a certain level, you know, this was at least what was going through my head. I think it's probably what was going through Tracy's head. I think it's probably what's going through Kenny's head. And at a certain point, I don't mind if we go back. Of course, we can go back to our caucuses, but it's not a matter of asking permission. It's more a matter of explaining. This is what we're doing.
I totally agree. I mean, one of the reasons that when Tracy had brought this up and you had brought this up during the budget process to increase the amount of money in the fund, it was my intention to put it before the audit committee because having. A group of five people and two honorary members or non-voting members decide on which areas to audit or look at is a lot better than trying to meld 23 different interests and everything like that.
So I will circulate make sure Amber has it. Amber can circulate the CGR, both the report and the update, just so you can look at it for reference. And then we can talk about it a little further, I guess, next time as we go down. I wonder if we can, maybe it's worth also reaching out to Chemung County, asking how much that report cost. Okay. It's got to be public information,
yeah.
right?
Well,
I mean,
yeah, once the RFP process is through and supported,
I'm sure they just answer if you call your counterpart there. We'll just get a quick answer. It'll give us some, like I said, it's a thorough, it's 167 pages, but... it's an interesting read, but obviously no one's going to read it with 1 hour to go, so I'll get that out.
Just to stay in the Sheriff's Department for a moment, under Sheriff Freer, I know that you were talking to Amber before the meeting about the different agencies that you guys are accredited by and that they do periodic audits. Is that something that you could have your folks send to us? The results of those?
Sure. We're an accredited sheriff's office in the criminal division, the corrections division, and the civil division.
Yep.
And for example, for the criminal division, there's 132 standards that you have to meet, covering everything.
Yep.
Including money. And every year we have to show that we meet those standards, and then every 5 years they come in with a team and spend 3 days and go over every standard, and we have to show that we're in compliance with all 132 standards. And the same with the corrections division and civil division.
Do they produce a report at the end of that?
Yes.
Okay.
And we've been accredited for, we were the first sheriff's office criminal division in the state to be accredited.
What organization accredits that?
Yeah, well, it started out with the Sheriff's Association, but down here, DCJS does it. Transferred over.
What does that stand for?
Department of Criminal Justice Services.
New York State Department of Criminal Justice Services.
DCJS.
I thought it was PC.
And also in the Civil Division, every other year, for as long as I can remember, we've hired a private auditor to come in and do the Civil Division books. We weren't forced to do that. We just wanted to make sure everything was.
Is there a reason why? You wouldn't have asked the comptroller's office to do that rather than go out for a private company, or are you looking for
the reason we asked the comptroller to do it recently is we had an employee leave that's been there for 30 years.
Right.
And whenever you transfer a job like that from one person to another, you always do an audit to make sure that the new person starting out and everything's good.
Clean slate,
Same with our evidence vault. Every time we change evidence custodians, we do a complete audit of the vault, so if you want to change his hand, everything's good.
Tracy?
for the civil, the, is that civil division audit an annual audit?
We do it every other year.
Every other year.
In our budget.
When you, when we see the other audit, can you send over that audit or whatever the most recent one? I don't know if it was last year or the previous one. We look at that and have Amber look at that as well.
Plus the comptroller's come in and did the civil division. Spent 6 months there last year, I think it was.
You mean our comptroller, right? That's what allowed
last year and the year before, I think they were there for 6 months.
Why are we even talking to the sheriff's department? We talked last meeting about the civil order in the sheriff's department. Yeah, you know, we're having it done every other year.
Yeah, we do it, yeah.
That was one of the sheriff's suggestions last month.
But this was an outside entity. This was an outside entity that we hired to come in to do it.
No matter who did it, you did have it done in the last 2 years. Why are we even considering doing the civil one?
Well, we haven't seen it, to my knowledge.
We haven't seen it.
Yeah,
on top of that, there were still programmatic questions about, for example, you know, the dollars that we are spending come out of that civil division and how that gets allocated. So there were still questions there. Yes. I actually had that entire list. I know the sheriff's going to come back with most of that info. So
there's no allocation. What comes in goes out. Income executions come in, then we send it right back out to whoever won that judgment. And then there's the commissary, and that's spent. That money is spent.
And the telephone.
Pistol permit piece.
So. Anyway, the sheriff's went back with
all. Right, we'll come back.
Yeah.
But yes. I think I've never seen the audit, the by whatever it is, the every other year audit that's done at the sheriff's.
Right.
Civil division. So certainly, if we get to see Amber, would it help you to see a couple with successive audits?
Sure, can't hurt.
Okay, so maybe we could get the last two or three of the civil division. And I have a question on that. Do you go when you do an external civil audit? Do you go out for an RFP, or do you just choose when you say it's a private audit? I know it's not you personally, but does a committee just?
We've had the same firm do it. I was there involved in how we picked the firm.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay, so maybe we can find that out too, how the firm.
Well, it wasn't a lot of money. I mean, it was a few $1,000 that they charged to come in and do it. But it was a local CPA firm that did it.
Okay. So maybe to get to it, will you also just put the request in writing just so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does anybody else have anything for the sheriff's office?
No.
To start with, I mean, we're going to get the so just to wrap up, we'll get the CGR report circulated to everybody. The sheriff, the undersheriff, is going to bring back the request for those documents that we've asked for, and they'll take a look at Legislator Rodriguez's questions.
Did
you email that to the boss?
I didn't yet.
Okay.
No, but I will. Again, I didn't want to. As per
his
claim, I didn't want to. But today I will send it when I get home.
So I guess at that point we'll move on to Family of Woodstock. Has anybody had a chance to look at what they had sent us, or think further about what we'd like to do there?
Well, actually, mine is actually a question, because again, I brought this up actually last time, where it's like, yes. Do I have a generic familiarity with Family of Woodstock? Yes. Did I look over that stuff? Yes. But, it becomes a thing where I'm actually positing a question to Mr. Cornelis. You are way more of an expert on the subject of social services. I mean, of those, all the programs that we've got there, right? If we're not going to take the whole look at family because it's sort of a behemoth, right? All these different programs. I mean, of those, of the programs that that family's doing for the county, which is the best to look at that where we could actually sort of like either retool a program or to actually maybe, take a look at it and kind of see if it is being done right, or that if it is being done right, how it could be, sort of maximized for our taxpayers.
Yeah, I guess that's not the way I would look at it.
Okay.
That's what Hector, I was more my thinking is just, it's a great organization, but they do an awful lot, right?
Yeah. And they do.
When have they ever closed a program? Right, and they.
Well, let's get into that though.
Exactly, and it's I always wonder just me personally as I work with them and do the work. I know that, you know, like many of our not-for-profits, they struggle and, you know, wonder if they're overextended. I wonder if they, you know, how programs are allocated and are they over-allocating programs based on the staff that they have.
But then which of those programs, though, do we sort of see basically where maybe they are overextended and as a result we're not, you know, do you have one in particular that comes off top of your head?
Not one that I would offer right now.
I mean, to that point, it's something that Mr. Berg brought up in the last meeting where he began by talking about the challenges with the sequestered funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he talked about piecing things together. It got me thinking kind of to Ken's concern. I don't think there's any argument that it's a great organization, but this is not my background, but it seems to me that the way that you would or we would analyze or look at those concerns is to look at the organization as a whole across all the contracts and determine, you know, how if things are overextended. I mean, if a person, does one person say work in 6 programs or 10 programs? And
right.
If so, does person, let's just call that person A, is that person allocated to 20% this program, 15% this program, 30% this program? And at the end of the day, if you, in my layman's terms, if you add all that up and that adds up to 130%, that's a problem, right? So I don't know that that's what we're going to find, but that's to me how you would see if an organization was overextended, because you'd have to look at it across programs. But I don't know if we have the funding to do that. I don't know how we begin doing that. I don't know. I don't know what we. I just don't know how we address that.
I don't even know how you break all that.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just trying to think of a way to quantify that.
Again, because I'm a layperson in this regard. Amber could probably speak to it better. I don't mean it necessarily specific to personnel. It's just you look at an organization and you look to see how it allocates its resources. I don't know.
Some of those answers may very well be answered. Some of those questions may very well be answered, you know, as far as personnel allocations, resource allocations. The auditors are doing testing as
on
speak,
those issues.
But we'll see how deep that rabbit hole.
Your audit, though, is drilled down on certain programs, right?
It's central to the youth.
Youth division. Yep. Which I would think.
180 is included in that?
What's that?
Is 180 included in that?
Yes.
Because that was the one thing that I was thinking about was the 180 program and looking at outcomes and seeing if outcomes, caseload, is there a wait list, how long is the wait list, things like that, and then moving towards should we be funding it more, because if the outcomes from 180 are so much better than sending them through the criminal justice system and the family court system, then maybe that's a place where we can lighten the load there and increase the amount of money that we do with 180.
I think we've really looked at it too. I mean, 180 flows from grant funding that once existed, and the population you target is very specific. It may not be the right population for us to target. So that's some of the discussions we've been having as we look to next year about, you know, really, especially as we implement Raise the Age, we look at all that. Like, really,
cyberbullying.
What is it targeted? What is the population it's targeted?
I can't put it off the top of my head, but it's real low level, you know, youth between a certain bracket, younger bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I think maybe that intermediate bracket might be about
petty theft, things like that.
Yeah, somebody walked away with somebody's cell phone.
Right.
But where I've been thinking is that, you know, we're kind of in the transition right now. We're doing Raise the Age, we're looking at funding sources.
Yep.
Like, I wouldn't want to make the mistake of making an investment too early, because we've gotten burned so many times before where we got ahead of an issue.
And then everybody else gets
state
grant funding, and since we
since we've already funding it, they're like, sorry, Ulster County.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it great that you already spent more money on that? You know, so it's, I think it's a piece of a puzzle, you know, and I think that, but I know that we've talked about modifying it to have something specific to cyber bullying. I don't think there'll be a lot of cases. You know, our guess is
next 5
a year. But
yeah, it's
got to
be addressed somewhere.
There's some cases. There's activity that might be more appropriate for that type of diversion.
Yeah.
And some of the things that may have waitlisted might not be.
I was almost, and again, I'm not a socialist, and I'm a social worker. I'm not Freudian slip there, but I'm not a social worker. But I would think, you know, for cyberbullying, something along the lines of almost like a DWI impact panel, where you can maybe the child or the adult, mostly the child, would hear from people who have been harmed by cyberbullying, families that have fallen apart, and things like that.
I mean, this whole program, it's restorative justice. This is community members meet with an offender, they identify.
And that's what I was going to say, aren't they mostly, most of the volunteers? But so that's, I mean, just on a financial basis, again, that's, when we look at programmatically, if you're comparing, cause there's so many different ways to look at these things, if you're comparing diversion, the benefit of diversion against being in the system, $1,500, which I think is the number I came up with based on what the program was and how many children sent through it. $1,500 is a very small price to pay against being in the system, but what's the $1,500 going to if it's a primarily volunteer program? You know, it's another question that has to be asked.
Well, you still need support staff and things that
nature. Yeah,
exactly.
Once you develop a restorative plan, you then need a case manager to supervise the staff.
Right,
exactly.
But what's important, the way I would want to understand that then is, in any given case, you'd analyze the cases and say, this case involved X amount of this case manager's time. You know, it's because we heard it could be over the course of 6 months, it could be once a week, it could be once every other week, it could be with the volunteers, that could be not with the case. You know what I mean? You have to quantify that cost as well. And again, I just as a single legislator, not a member of the audit committee, I would support spending a tremendous amount of money on diversion programs that work. I mean, I believe in that for sure.
Absolutely.
But I also feel like we need to analyze every one of those dollars and find the way to get the most bang for the proverbial buck, because we only have so much of those dollars to go when we're fully funding it.
So now that we've talked around, but we have to kind of get closer to, you know, what are we going to do, or what are we looking to, you know, to audit or to kind of, you know, review when it comes to failing.
Mike? I just wanted to say, listening to your conversation, that, you know, very quickly you're going to get an influx of 16, 17-year-olds that are no longer going to be in our facility or the criminal justice adult system. We're all going to be juvenile
court.
And that's going to be a huge influx of people to deal with in Ulster County.
Now,
all it says,
Ulster
County is responsible for.
Has anyone looked at those, analyzed those numbers over the last, say, year? How many children fall into that?
That age group, the crime rate's gone through the roof in the last
16, 17s,
I mean, because that would be important for us to know as well, just to anticipate if things stay relatively the same, what we're looking at in terms
There's going to be a major shifting of resources between departments. Yeah. You know, what was once dealt with there is now dealt with over here. There's going to be need for new resources.
We're going to need to hire new assistant county attorneys. Yeah. We're going to need to hire new probation officers.
But do you need less public defenders? Or
brick and mortar,
maybe. DA's office.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough conversation to have, but, you know.
Yeah, because
right
every,
now,
you know, in the family court system, every, you know, the first stop in the system is, you know, an evaluation by a probation officer, probation official. So, you know, now that's going to add, you know, an immense amount of work, almost like what they did with Leander's Law when they required all those guys to get interlock devices and have those be monitored, didn't give us any money for it.
Again, the promise for money is there.
I've heard that before.
We want to be careful not to, you know, not to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
But also,
when
we create
take effect. When exactly is going to take effect?
We have so
16-year-olds is taking effect soon, this year sometime. I think in the fall, and then it's going to go up to 17-year-olds next year.
Yeah.
And what do you guesstimate the numbers going to be?
I think they're going to be high.
I mean,
I couldn't even make a guess. I'd have to go and look and see what, run a report on how many 16, 17-year-olds are in the system. So it's a whole new way of doing business. The 16 and 17-year-olds are going to go to somebody, a law judge or somebody, and he's going to decide if they're going to family court or they're going here or there. So it's going to be a whole new infrastructure.
No, I think the timing of this one.
No, good thing we're building it.
And its location actually helps.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you can't get them in diversion and you got to hold them securely, they got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Because there's no beds in New York now that are open for secure. We just transported this morning a guy down to the Bronx.
Wow.
For family as a favor to the family court because he needed to be a secure facility, which was upstate. And he had to go back to Bronx Court this morning.
Yeah. Any more thoughts on Family Woodstock, or are we going to put that off until after we get the more data from the Sheriff's Department?
I was going to say, right now I haven't heard anything more concrete.
Certainly with Michael's concern from your last meeting, let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks with the sales tax.
That's the other kind of component, right? At the end of the day, everything is going to be tied back to that. You could be here.
The last thing I heard on that, just as an aside, that doesn't, you know, that's not really business for here, but as you know, what I had heard today was in a message meeting for my assembly job that all the upstate sales tax extenders are being tied right now to mayoral control.
Yeah, there's one bill that passed the assembly by 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Good news is we're in that bill. That's a pretty good thing.
But yeah, it extends mayoral control of the city schools for two years. And also includes all the upstate sales tax extenders. It's likely to be a battle with the Senate that goes down to the last day of session. It'll end up in the big ugly.
It's an old trick. The Senate used to tie the New York City tax issues to this Long Island sales tax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What did they ask the Senate?
The Senate passed our bill last week.
Yeah. The Senate wants to not extend mayoral control to Mayor de Blasio.
Well, I know that, but I mean, have they distinguished, you know, the sales tax and the mayor control? Or two separate?
The Senate did them separately.
Yeah. Senator Klein has the 2-year mayoral control in, and then the Senate already passed our sales tax extender, so we'll see. Should be. They're not gonna deny the extenders to all the upstate counties.
Let's hope we can address Michael Burke's cash flow issues.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll move on now to the discussion that we had last time about putting out an RFP for an audit to follow the family court process for us in conjunction with the committee that will start meeting when things start to heat up.
Is that
something we can all agree on to start with? I mean, I feel like that's one thing that
would exactly
be really
will
useful.
This, so just talk me through what exactly this, what it would do practically, how it would.
Well, it's going to follow the contracts, keep a good tally on how much money we're spending, where we're spending it, is the service being delivered? I mean, Amber and I had a discussion about this. Is that what you were thinking?
Right. Any costs, any expenditures that are incurred that are shared amongst the building, how they're allocated amongst the building, making sure that no expenses are put elsewhere and not included in the final tally of the family court costs. And then...
Do you have pro rate, new roofs, air conditioning,
right, it would be,
ventilation,
yeah.
That nature?
And then to confirm that the way that those costs were allocated is appropriate. So if it's based on square footage, usage, things like that.
But I'm saying we'd send out an RFP and the firm would be with us throughout the whole project from start to finish of the...
Yeah.
Versus,
how much is that
going to
cost, though?
Yeah, versus...
We won't know until we get it out. I mean, you know, putting out an RFP doesn't mean that we have to award it.
No, so, right. but it's one of those things. I was interested in it, but I have to admit, I had no idea what...
But the analyzation of finances is going to come down with the structure manager. Basically, he's not going to prorate the different parts of the building, but he's going to make sure that we're getting bang for a buck regarding what we're spending, how we're spending it, and getting quality money.
The question is, do you want to trust the construction manager's numbers, or are you going to do an independent analysis? I mean, that was one of the things that came out of the special committee on the jail, was having independent analysis and not just having one set of eyes.
Yeah.
Which I think
and to be very blunt, as somebody who actually voted against the construction manager at the end of the day, I'm interested. So.
Yeah,
that's
right.
You did vote against
it. I did.
Yeah,
Colombo Group. They did a great job on Strive. Just gonna put that out there.
But you can switch companies in the middle of it. At the close of the year, the contract term, the subsequent auditor can request that documentation and work papers, and then proceed from there.
And what do we know? Question probably for Ken. Does the executive's office, is there some kind of internal audit on these projects that happens?
They
keep track of it, but
I mean, yeah. with all the scrutiny on it, I mean, the county executive takes great pride in the capital projects. That's why we think we do them pretty well.
So, yeah.
You know, check it all you want. I think that the allocation issue is one. I mean, things are going to change. Like, for example, a point that I raise daily, and I think many of you around the table would agree with me, is that there's an opportunity to, say, improve services for the Office for the Aging. Because you understand that building now.
Yeah.
You got to go through the metal detector in social services to go to Office for the Aging. It's tough on the seniors.
Though. Absolutely.
A lot of them have air tanks that they bring in and whatnot. So we keep discussing, we have an architect looking at it, but maybe it makes sense to transmit that agency into the next building, side by side with the family court. Veterans in, so have a common, wouldn't it make sense to have a common waiting area for veterans and aging? They have a lot of similar clientele, just to improve service. So again, that's not part of the family court build, right?
But
it could be.
And I think that there's a lot of decisions that are going to be made out there on what should stay there and what should not stay there.
Exactly.
Which organizations might be better served in a different location.
And for example, the legislature, you guys have a resolution before you this month to authorize a lease for OET to move the Department of Labor over to Boyce's Lane.
Yep.
That is really a cost savings move, because the lease is 100% reimbursed through either state or federal sources. It gets them out of the way. Labor needed a bigger space anyways. And then
OET and the Department of Labor go hand in hand.
Correct. They have to be hand in hand. And but by freeing up that space, it's going to make the construction a lot less expensive, because they have to work around anybody.
Yep.
Right. But then, now we've got this space. What would be the best way to utilize that to kind of reshuffle the deck over there?
Yep.
Because remember, with that whole concept of...
You mean they're going to stay there even once it's finished?
That's current.
That's the current plan.
Office for the Aging. Yeah.
Oh.
No, no.
Not Office for the Aging.
No, it's about OET.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a temporary.
It's a four-year contract, I think.
It's a five-year lease. Yeah.
But
do we expect it would always be fully funded? Well, I mean, this is a Ways and Means question.
There's no county money in OET. It's all federal.
It's all federal. Yeah.
And incredibly, when you look at that lease, the way that it's structured is labor is a sub-leasing to us. Mm-hmm. So they actually pay a higher rate. They're paying for the whole build-out of the building that they need. And OCs pays for the sub-lease from that as well, too. It's kind of a set piece. But with that move and reconstruction, does it make sense to bring them back? Does it make sense to restructure some of the less intensive human services that happen up there? One of the things we took, when you understand, number 2 years ago, we took over the RSVP program in college, and we've dramatically increased it. So what used to be a nice volunteer effort is now a very large effort. We actually use quite a bit of space on the college side of the BRC right now, temporarily.
Yep.
So how does that fit in there? So there's a lot of those discussions going on right now. Again, but as Amber's pointed, that's not part of the capital project to build the family court. These are nice things that we can do, because now we have some new space to work with.
Trace?
Yeah, I think that I think it's worth having all those conversations for sure. And even, again, it's kind of to Rich's earlier point, in terms of transparency, it's like if we have the information, then certainly we can support those changes, even if they're not portion of the project, just so long as we understand that. My bigger concern with Family Court project, is just the sort of the sticker shock of the initial number that we've seen for rehabilitation of existing space that does not include the roof, is my understanding. And it's all based on Alfondri's analysis, which is, to my estimation, pretty lacking in backup. I asked Dennis at that time, I said, can I see how he arrived, like where are the numbers and the backup to see how he arrived at these numbers? And I was told that doesn't exist. And then I was assured, which I believe, that that in reaching out to whoever, Crimes or managers, construction managers, that everyone felt like this was a number they could work in. But the question is the number too high? Not is the number too low? Because obviously if I'm going to do a renovation on my house and someone tells me, well, that's going to cost $1 million, and you're a construction manager and I say, can you do it for $1 million? Meanwhile, you're thinking, I could have done that for $500,000. Of course you're going to go, yeah, I could definitely do that for $1 million and bid accordingly, because we're paying a percentage on that estimate. And I don't know what the answer is. I just don't know. And we're not incentivizing coming in lower, other than the fact that, which is not invaluable, that the executive takes great pride in coming in under and delivering on time and on schedule, and that's important. But in a bigger picture, I have no way of verifying that that number, that $10 million, to be round, is a fair number. And in fact, in campaigning for and articulating and asking people to vote for that move, and saying why I thought it was important to people, to my constituents and our constituents as a whole, because I talked to anyone in Ulster County who would listen to me on this subject, every time I said that what the cost was to rehabilitate an existing building, the response was immediate. What the? That's for an existing building. People don't understand how something could reach $10 million. I get it's a public project.
I mean, a lot of people don't understand the cost of, you know, prevailing wage labor, things of that nature. But another thing that can't be underscored enough in the Family Court move
is the role of the courts. I know
the role of Office of Court Administration. We could do it for less than what we're doing it for, but not to meet OCA standards. And that's just the problem. One of the conversations I had with the county executive was, I know we have to give them a golden toilet seat, but let's not make it a solid golden toilet seat. You know, they're judges, and you know, there's a lot of genuflection that goes on with that.
Jason, you should be glad that you're not part of any of those conversations.
I'm sure I would. And that's why I'm just speaking frankly to the committee, because that's a, you know.
What do you mean you want a mahogany chair? And
I don't know how we verify. For me, that's what I most want to see. I'm excited that you are gonna find, you know, finally, and I say finally not because you're finally doing it, but because we, the legislature, are finally doing what we were recommended to do before. I mean, the committee's recommendation to make sure that the legislative committee is in effect existed before the investigative committee. You know, that was in the initial documents of the legislature, just never followed.
Right.
So that was one of the failures in the original construction of the new jail. But I just wonder how do we verify these initial numbers when we're out the gate, and how do we incentivize smaller numbers? And you know, it's the same thing. I had the same. It's the frugal person in me. I had the same reaction to, on a much smaller scale, what I think is an amazing project, and I said it publicly, the poorhouse memorial or whatever. You know, it's, okay, we know that the statue is going to cost $30,000, but $100,000 on pavers and green, it seems like and I said publicly, I hope we can come in way under, because I got to believe that we could do that for less money. But if the initial number's high that gets approved by the legislature, it makes it easier to come in under on. And I don't know how, because it's not my expertise, I don't know how we verify that initial number. Because, like I said, with the Alfondri estimate, I did not see any backup.
Right.
period, two pages.
You're actually going out to bid, you're going to have contractors come in and actually, you know, place values on the whole contract. You know, they're going to do whatever part of the contract. I mean, they're not, because you have a price tag of $10 million, if that's the case, they're not coming in at $10 million or right around $10 million. They're going to evaluate what it's actually going to cost them to do the work.
And they're competitively bidding.
Somebody else might get the job. So, I mean, there again, they have an incentive to do what they can do on their profit margin, make sure they come in on time.
I don't understand.
The other question becomes that, you know, do you want an incentive for coming in, you know, period of time sooner? I mean, you could put that in the contract very easily. I mean, but there again, you better be careful.
You can raise the cost of the contract.
You know,
yeah.
They are going to raise the cost just for that itself.
Exactly. And I think the good news is there's a lot of competition for this bid.
Yeah.
So that's quite frankly one of the reasons why moving labor out of there is for you this month.
Yeah.
It's because
we're getting ready.
Everyone who's going to be competitive on this job is like, yeah, if they're out of there, there's a savings attached to that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, working around this.
And believe it or not, I mean, right now things are starting to move in the construction area. So, I mean, we probably did this 6 months ago. You would probably have prices, in my opinion, probably at least 8% cheaper than what we're going to get. You know, we'll have to do it. Yeah, it's just the nature of, you know, when there's a lot of work out there, people, you know, rate their estimates a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's the nature of the business.
So it seems like there's a support of the committee to, you know, at least go out to RFP on this. You know, if you want to put it in the form of a motion, and Amber can work with purchasing on going out, on putting together an RFP for us to take a look at our next meeting.
Do you need a motion?
Yeah, I'd like one.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Excellent. Is there anything else?
Well, before we have a final on the approval of the RFP, I'd like to see the final form.
Well, that's what we have. We're going to bring it to the next meeting, absolutely.
And if it's done before, then it's circulated digitally, just so that we have a chance to
hold
it.
For what was moved, I believe it was that just authorized to have Amber prepare that issue. Yeah. At this
and then bring it back. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So we've gone through all the things that were on the agenda. Do we have any new business? And we don't have any old business. We've pretty much
closed
that.
We have a lot of old business.
Yeah.
I think we just
well for next time.
So yeah.
Does anybody else have anything?
We have covered a lot in 3 months. Meetings that we had on how the time it was. You know, I think we should focus on, you know, what's going to be present and make a decision to move forward. You know,
I agree.
One, we'll finish that one, whatever that one is first.
Yep.
So number two, and number three.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't be going here. That's to go down this path.
Well, and I think we have. I think we've clearly already narrowed the field down for one. We started out over here and went to here, and hopefully we're going to, for example, with family, we're going to eventually go to here.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I'm going to ask is to go out of the schedule.
Yes.
I always do. So I don't know if we are in a position to actually meet next week, be before Ways and Means. That's next
I would like to hold one of these meetings a little bit later, because I know that Mary Beth is on the committee, has trouble making meetings before 5 o'clock. And that's
then
caused a
like,
problem for attendance.
And then she doesn't like to come, though, on days when we're not... But she's not scheduled to be here, so
fair
at a certain enough. Point we.
Amber, can you get this done by next week?
Sure. I wrote some preliminary parameters for the RFP, and I know a lot of it's general template. I think I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, though.
I mean, I don't have a problem meeting next week at 3:30 again.
Or you know, I was gonna say.
I mean, I don't think we.
Okay.
So you probably could do it
at 5 o'clock, or I've done it the student this week.
You know, maybe 4:30.
4:30.
All right. So let's.
Check with Amber and see what our schedule Ways and Means to do it.
Yeah.
There, you know,
an hour before Ways and Means starts or something.
Yeah.
Somewhere on or about there. Is that good for everybody? We'll just plan to meet an hour before whatever Ways and Means is going to start.
Beautiful.
What's the date of the next meeting?
Tuesday. Yep.
The
20th.
20th.
Tuesday the 20th, a week from tomorrow.
At 4:30?
Probably.
Check with Amber. Could be 5 o'clock.
we'll have
pencil,
Amber.
Until 4:30.
The boss is on Amber's email list, so. No, your boss.
Here, though?
It'll be at the county building.
Yeah. We're just here because we have the Trinity College.
The budget tonight. I do have one little piece of old business to bring up, just as I was thinking about it. I know that we had discussed the soil and water audit, and I know that you've been discussing that there. Is that something that we want to go out to RFP on now to get that back? I mean, you were looking at doing RFP here.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to get that RFP going as soon as possible.
But not for our money.
It's not going to be our money.
But yeah, I definitely, as I said before, what?
We can oversee it. This committee can oversee the RFP.
I would think so. It's an audit, so I would think that the proper place would be the audit committee. But.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the board will agree. My inclination is that the board will agree with whatever I articulate, because we've said that we as a board have agreed that we're going to move forward with an audit, a bona fide outside audit.
But then in that vein, Tracy, I mean, just to ask you, you know, is this something that you think the organization can take care of on their own that we don't necessarily have?
The organization is me.
What do you recommend?
Yeah, well, we have one of two options according to B. I mean, B suggested that the best way to have the benefit of our purchasing department's help is to do it through the legislature. Then the purchasing department will help me
and get reimbursed by
the soil and water for the money. Because the alternative is I have to create a committee from that board.
Sure.
I'm going to have to write up an RFP.
You and Joe Hasbrook and Fred Van Nostrand will get together and you'll write the
RFP.
That's
going to be a challenge for me time-wise. I'm certainly, at the least, if that's the way we go with it, I'm going to need Amber's help and some level of Mark Ryder's assistance. I can go and pull an old RFP, but...
I really think that the way to do it is to go through
us
and then be reimbursed by soil and water. And we always have, we always have a quarterly payment to withhold if for some reason they didn't want to pay.
Yeah, and I certainly, I mean, what?
You have an agreement, a written agreement that they are paying for this audit.
A written agreement? Is that what you said?
In a motion in a board meeting, probably, right?
We haven't made a motion. Because there's been nothing to make a motion about, but we discussed. Maybe we made a motion back when you and I were on the board. I mean,
I don't think we made a motion that they were going to pay for.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about
that. That'd be null and void anyway. But yeah. I mean,
yeah, but we. But clearly, before moving forward with the legislature expending any funds, we would have that agreement in place. That goes without saying. So I don't know.
I just wanted to bring it up because we are the audit committee, and I feel like if we were going to put out the RFP, this is the committee that would be doing the
And
the
this
RFP
is for the
review.
Financial. This we're talking about the financials. We're not talking about that
no,
programmatic
this is an
audit,
audit
that you guys
audit.
Were talking about. This is the regular audit.
This
yeah.
is how much money do you really have in fund balance? How much
and
money
how,
do you
and
where does it go?
And
how to go there?
Programmatic
exactly.
And
what's
et cetera,
in, what's out?
So, we have a meeting coming up. I'll reach out to the...
Do you want to wait until next time to do a motion on getting an RFP together?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Len first, just since he's the chair
That's
of
fine.
The board.
Yeah.
And I'll bring Jim Vallon up to speed.
Okay. And then the three of you was enough to...
Yeah, and because that's the other thing is what's... Joe...
Just probably Fred.
Fred's no longer... It's basically finished. So we're going to need to determine that.
Yeah, that's something between the two.
Yeah.
All right. So with that,
second.
Business motion to adjourn made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Tracy, I just had a couple of questions on your question.
4:36.
Look at that.